15. You know, it's a strange thing that I get that board out here, and the first question I get asked was, oh, you got the board out. Should I take notes? I would suggest you take notes whether the board's there or not. Amen? 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians chapter 15, look if you would, starting at verse 45. It says, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. Now this is comparing the first man, which is Adam, to the last Adam, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, it's comparing the two. Okay, verse 47. The first man is as of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now, there again, it compares it makes a comparison between the first Adam and the Lord Jesus Christ. Adam, back there in Genesis chapter 2, compares that one to Jesus Christ. And the Bible has many comparisons when it comes to Adam and Jesus Christ. For instance, the first Adam was to be the ruler of the earth. In fact, in Genesis chapter 1:26, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth. Wanted Adam to have dominion over the whole earth. That was God's plan. But we know that Adam blew it. Adam failed, and he ate of the fruit, and so he lost his opportunity to rule the earth. However, the second Adam will rule this earth. Jesus Christ will come and rule this earth, and he will succeed. He's not going to be like Adam was, okay? And as Adam had dominion over the animals of the earth, Christ also will have dominion over the whole thing. In fact, you've already seen that. If you remember, it was Jesus who told Peter, James, and John to go back out and dip their nets down, and they filled up the nets with the fishes. Well, only somebody who has dominion over the fish of the waters can do something like that. If you'll remember, it was Jesus who told Peter to go out and get the fish with the coin in its mouth. Only somebody who has dominion over the animals can do that. You see, even though the devil right now, the power of the air, he is over the kingdoms of this earth. He doesn't control the animals. He doesn't have dominion over the whole thing. It's still God on the throne. And he allows the devil to do whatever he's going to do for now. But the Lord Jesus Christ right now, he has dominion over the fowls of the air and those things, okay? But one of these days, he's going to rule the whole thing. Now, like you've heard me say before, many men have tried since Adam to rule this whole earth. No man has rule over all the animals. Only Jesus Christ has that. No man rules over all the fish and all that. But man has tried to rule this earth when it comes to conquering everybody since Adam. And nobody has succeeded. Now, there have been a couple people who got pretty close. I mean, if you read your history, you can read that where Genghis Khan got pretty close, and had the Lord not have stopped him, he might have just ruled over the whole thing. And you can certainly look at Rome, and you could look at people like Nero tried, and people like Adolf Hitler tried, and Napoleon tried, but all of them were defeated before they could rule over the whole thing. But one of these days, Jesus Christ is going to come back, and he's going to rule over everybody. Amen? And there's nobody going to stop him. And so you see a comparison there. Okay. All right, not only that, but Adam was originally made in the image of God. You know, it says that that let us make him in our image, all right? So he was originally made in the image of God, and Jesus is, on the other hand, he is the image of God. Jesus told Philip in John chapter 14, verse 9, he says, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. So you see a comparison between the first Adam and the second Adam there. All right? Not only that, but we know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the only begotten of God. Amen? But according to Luke 3:38, Adam is also called a son of God. Now, that's because God created Adam, not because Adam was the begotten of God. Okay? We know that God created him, and Jesus Christ created all things. Okay? So as you can see, there are some comparisons between the two. But there are also some pretty important contrasts between the first Adam and Jesus Christ. And the Bible calls Jesus Christ the second Adam. Okay? But there are some contrasts. And the Bible gives us some of these contrasts. Now, one of the first places you'll see a contrast between the first Adam and Jesus Christ is when it comes to the generations of the two. Turn, if you would, over to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. And I want to show you something here. I don't know if you've ever seen it before, but it's pretty good stuff. Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. Back in Genesis chapter 5, look if you would, starting at verse 1. It says, "This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him, male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth." Now, that's pretty important that you catch that right there, because remember, Seth was born after the fall. So Adam was in the image of God, perfect image of God, but then when he fell, he was no longer in the image of God, and neither were his children and his children's children, and on and on and on and on. Why? Because people can die spiritually, okay? And so it's not the same. All right, that's reading it says in verse 3, "And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness after his image." Never says it's after image of God, okay? "And called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begot sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years." Look what it says after that. "And he died." Now, real quick, just remember, had he not have eaten the fruit, it would not have said that. Okay, he would not have died physically if he hadn't eaten the fruit. But it says, "And he died." Keep on reading. Verse 6. "And Seth lived 105 years and begot Enos." And Seth lived after he begot Enos 807 years, and he begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years. Look what it says. "And he died." Keep on reading. "And Enos lived 90 years and begot Canaan, and Enos lived after he begot Canaan 815 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died." Drop down to verse 14. "And all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died." Verse 20. "And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died." Now that is the generations of Adam. Book of generations of Adam, right? Now, turn if you would over to Matthew chapter 1. We're comparing here, we're having a contrast between Adam and Jesus Christ, the first Adam and the second Adam. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. And look at verse 1. Back there in Genesis chapter 5, it says, this is the book of generations of Adam. Here it says, in Matthew chapter 1, it says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, you can keep on reading here in Matthew chapter 1 through this book of generations, and do you know what you never see? The phrase, "and he died." You won't find it anywhere in here. You know why? Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22, it says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Jesus, in Christ shall all be made alive." You have the book of generations of Adam, and he died, and he died, and he died. But then in the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, nobody is said to die. Why? Because in Adam, all die. But if you want everlasting life, you're in Christ. That's the only way you're going to get it. Okay, so there are contrasts all the way through your Bible talking about how the difference between Adam and Jesus Christ. We're all born, when we're born physically, we're born in Adam, right? All of us are. But you have to be born again to be placed in Jesus Christ. And if you're not born again and you die in Adam, you'll face death. Amen? But if you're in Christ, you have everlasting life. That's the whole teaching is that you've got to be born again. You go over to John chapter 3, and he's talking to Nicodemus about being born again. And he says, you know, that ye must be born again. You must be born of water and of spirit. You got to be born a second time. Okay? And so it's one of the teachings comparing the two Adams. Now, I'd say it's quite the contrast. But the most important contrast I wanted to show you, where it really goes into deep on the contrast between the two, is found in Romans chapter 5. So turn over to Romans chapter 5, and we'll probably just stay in Romans chapter 5 tonight. Not going to be doing a whole lot more traveling from there, maybe a couple of verses, I don't know. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, look if you would at verse 12. It says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death was passed upon all men, for all have sinned." Who's that one man? It's Adam. Amen? "For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law." Now, verse 13, that's a great verse to remember, because that is one of the many verses in the Bible that tells you that when a child dies, a child goes to heaven. When a baby dies, a baby goes to heaven. Why? "For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law." Got to remember that one, all right? Verse 14, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come." He says right there that Adam was a type of Christ. Before he fell, he was a type of Christ. Because he says he was a figure of him that was to come. Verse 15, "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead," talking about Adam, "much more the grace of God and gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned," there's Adam, "so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift of many, the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, Adam, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, Adam, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men in the justification of life, Jesus Christ. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, Adam, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous, Jesus Christ. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Now up to this point, in the book of Romans, Paul has spent a considerable amount of time trying to prove that every man's a sinner. Over and over and over, he's showing in the book of Romans that, in Romans chapter 3, in Romans chapter 4, he's trying to prove that man is a sinner. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one." And so he is continuously trying to make the point that it doesn't matter if you're Jew or if it doesn't matter if you're Gentile, everybody is a sinner. Amen? Now, again, you got to understand something. Everybody is born a sinner. Everybody is born a sinner. But you're not held responsible for those sins until you reach the age of accountability. You got to understand that. Okay? Bible says that we transgress from our mother's womb, all right? But we're not held responsible for it until we have the knowledge of it. And the Bible teaches that clearly. All right? But he has shown that everybody here is born a sinner, and he has shown that every class of human being in the world is guilty in the eyes of God. And there is no denying that truth at all. Everybody is guilty in the eyes of God before he gets saved. And if you doubt that man is guilty, If you doubt that man's a sinner, all you have to do really is just one, let the power go out in this town. You know what you're going to see? You're going to see men doing things in the dark. You're going to see men breaking into things. You'll see people stealing things. Why? Because when they think nobody's looking, the real them comes out. Amen? Everybody's a sinner, folks. Everybody in this room's a sinner, too. It's not like only the unsaved people are sinners. Hey, I've seen Christians do some things that would just blow your mind. We're all sinners. The difference between us and them is we've been forgiven. We've been placed in Christ. And we don't sin spiritually. Now, we still sin in our flesh, but we don't sin spiritually because we've been placed in Christ. But there is no denying the truth that all men, all people are sinners. People are just sinners. Man is a sinner. And in these verses, Paul tells us how a man came to be that way. And so, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, every person in this room, you've had ideas, and you've had thoughts, and you've had motives, and you've had actions, all of them that were ungodly. You've probably had all those things just today. Amen? I know, I will tell you this, I mean, I don't know why I do this to myself, but I went down to the car show this past Saturday. And when I saw a certain 66 Camaro, I had thoughts I probably shouldn't have had. Amen? I don't know why I go down there. But so we've all done those things. And even though we sometimes, you know, we even know what the consequences are in our thoughts and actions. If we actually took action on, I mean, if we actually took action on our thoughts, we know what the consequences are, and we still do them sometimes. That shows you how wicked we are. There are sometimes we do things knowing that God doesn't approve, and we do it anyway. That's basically in God's face that we do it. And you say, well, why is that? Because we are sinners by nature. Now, that doesn't let us off the hook, but we are still sinners by nature, and that nature was passed down to us from Adam. And you say, well, then it's Adam's fault. No, because if it was Adam's fault, then it's all his fault, then you're saying that you in Adam's place would fare better than he would. Well, let me ask you something. If I told you today, if I challenged you today, okay, if you think that you would fare better than Adam did, if you honestly think that you would fare better than Adam or Eve, if you think that you would, then here's my challenge. For one day, see if you can live a perfectly sinless life for one day. I mean, God said, look, the only thing I'm asking you to do is don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's it. Well, the challenge is just don't disobey God not one time for 24 hours. And see how well you do. And if you make it back after 24 hours and you say, okay, I didn't sin, number one, I'm going to challenge you, and probably, yes, you did. But remember this, we don't know how long Adam and Eve went from the time that God said don't eat the tree to the time that she actually did eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We don't know. It could have been a day. It could have been a week. It could have been a year. It could have been 10 years. Now, come on. You think you can go that long and obey God every single day? If you can't, then you probably shouldn't be too hard on Adam and Eve. If you can't, then you probably can't blame Adam and Eve for anything, because we're responsible for our sins. We're responsible for them. You can't blame Adam. You can't blame Adam. You know what? I'll give you another challenge too. Think about this. God said, don't eat the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And if you do, on that day, you'll surely die, right? Did he have any other promises? Did he have any other promises of everlasting life? Did he have any other promises that he's going to be in heaven one of these days? Did he have any of those things? You do. You have the Bible right there. You see, they didn't have that. Sometimes we always think that everybody always have the same Bible as us. Job didn't have the Bible you had, but he had great faith. Moses didn't have the Bible you had. I mean, he wrote the first five books, and he didn't have anything after that. Look at the advantages you have today. You know what the problem is? We all have that sin nature, and we can't blame it on anybody else. If anything, we probably have the advantage over people today, okay? The people of the past. And so we are a sinner by nature. And a person doesn't become a sinner by doing evil. He does evil because he is a sinner. Now, this passage here in Romans chapter 5 is one that contrasts Adam and the things that his sin did for mankind with the Lord Jesus Christ and what his righteousness has done for mankind. And Adam here, he was created in the very image of God. He had been placed in a perfect environment with a perfect companion. And he was to be the master of a perfect world. And there was only one restriction, just one restriction. He was forbidden to eat of the fruit. But as like I said, as we all know, that didn't go very well for him, right? And so what did Adam's sin do for mankind? Well, look at verse 12. And you'll see that Adam's sin brought, first of all, physical death. You say, well, boy, this is something I already know. Well, I understand that. But you need to understand why you do what you do. You need to understand how you got the way you got. And you need to understand the difference between being in Adam and being in Christ. And it is huge. All right, so Adam's sin, first of all, brought physical death. Look at verse 12. It says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Now, we're going to look here in a minute that not only was it physical death, but there was also spiritual death. And we'll look at that in just a minute. But what I want you to see is this, that physical death was passed on from Adam. Had he not have eaten that fruit, he would not have died. They had the tree of life right there inside of the garden. He would not have died. And so because he ate the fruit and he died, what does that mean? Well, that means that everybody who was born of Adam is going to die physically. That's the reason Hebrews says the point unto men wants to die. You're going to die. Why? Because that sin nature was passed down to you physically. It was passed down to you in the seed of a man. That's the reason the virgin birth of Christ is such an important doctrine, because the seed was never passed down from man. He was born of a seed of a woman, virgin born. So therefore, he was not born a sinner like we are. You see the difference? Because he wasn't born from the seed of Adam. He was born of the seed of woman. So the sin nature was not passed down to Jesus Christ. He was born perfect. He never sinned one single time. And he died perfect. The just for the unjust. All right? So you have Adam. And when he ate that fruit, death, physical death, was passed down. We know that because in Genesis chapter 5 that we just read in the genealogies the book of genealogies of Adam, it says right there in Genesis chapter 5 that Adam died. He died physically. And we know it's the point unto men wants to die. Everybody's got to die. And you say, well, what happens if the Lord raptures us out? Well, here's the thing. That Bible says that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. What does that mean? That Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 that we're changed in a twinkling of an eye. This corruptible must put on incorruptible. This is not the body that's going to go up. You know what death is? Death is when the soul and spirit separate from the body. That's what it is. I go back there back in Genesis, and it talks about how when Rachel died, it says that her soul departed her body and she died. Okay? So what it is your soul departs the body, and that is death when the two come apart. May I tell you, on rapture day, you know what's going to happen? That this body is going to be changed, and this crumble is going to put on incorruption, and the new body is going to go up. This soul is not going to be in this body on rapture day. It's going to be in a whole new one. So you say, well, yeah, that's technically not dying. Technically it isn't, but kind of it is, because this body is not going anywhere. It's going to stay here. Amen? In one form or the other, it's going to stay here. It's not going to go up there, because flesh and blood does not inherit the kingdom. So in Adam, all die. All die physically. Why? Because he ate the fruit. And death was passed down. If you think about this, the moment you were saved, then spiritually you were placed in Christ. Right? Now we're going to be looking at that here in just a minute. But spiritually you were placed in Christ. You were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and your spiritual side was cut away from your flesh, and you were placed in Christ. It's kind of like being placed in a safe place. But you still got that flesh, and that flesh still sins. And the Bible says the wage of sin is death. That means this flesh has got to die. Has to. Can't go up, it can't go in, it can't inherit the kingdom. It can't, because flesh and blood doesn't inherit the kingdom. This is sinful flesh. It has to die. Why? It's in Adam. But if you have not been saved, then you have not been circumcised from your flesh, and your spirit is still with your flesh, so guess what? Everything that you touch is a sin. That's the reason they couldn't touch things in the Old Testament. They couldn't eat things in the Old Testament. There were things that they couldn't do in the Old Testament because they haven't been circumcised yet. They haven't been circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. They haven't been cut away yet. They had not had their soul placed in a safe place. A lost person today, if that person dies, he's dead in his sins because he's not been circumcised and placed in Christ. He's still in Adam. Soul and body, still in Adam. So guess what happens? In Adam, all die. That means if a person dies without Jesus Christ, he doesn't stand a chance. You've got to be placed spiritually in Christ. In Adam, all die, but in Christ, people are made alive. Amen? All right, got to understand it. So you have Adam here, and because of his sin, Adam's sin brought physical death. Adam's sin also brought spiritual death. Back in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, it says this. It says, "But of the tree of life, God said, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt die." Now, we know he's not talking about physical death there, because according to Genesis chapter 5, he had a whole lot more kids later on, and eventually he died. But he did not die that day. Neither did Eve. She did not die that day. Well, something died, or otherwise God lied about it, right? What was it that died? Spiritually, they died that day. The second they ate the fruit, not only did they guarantee themselves to die physically one day, but that moment they ate the fruit, they got the knowledge of good and evil at that point, and they died. Now, you've heard me teach before about how do we know that babies go to heaven is because they don't have that knowledge of good and evil. They don't have it yet. Now, there's a time in their life when they will get that knowledge of good and evil. And when they do, at that point, they'll die, just like Adam and Eve did, spiritually. All right? And then they got to be born again and placed in Christ. Or otherwise, they'll die in their sins, because in Adam all die. All right? And so that's what they had to do. They had to be born again. But a baby does not have the knowledge of good and evil, and where there is no law, there is no transgression. And it says that in that passage there in Romans chapter 5, that sin is not imputed when there is no law, because they don't have that knowledge of good and evil, so therefore, up until a certain age, they're safe. All right? But once they reach a certain age, they will die spiritually. Why? Because Adam passed that down. That's a part of your nature. A person will die spiritually when they reach a certain age, when they reach that age of accountability, whatever age that may be, they're going to reach it. And when they do, they will die because that was passed down from Adam. In Adam, all die, and it was passed down from them. All right? And so when Adam ate the fruit, what he did is that brought spiritual death. In fact, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1:9, he says, "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves," he said, "that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead." Paul said this, "I had the sentence of death within me at one time, but then he got saved. And now he's alive." Now here in Romans chapter 5, look at verse 14. It says, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come." He's talking about physical death here, that death reigned from Adam to Moses, and it says, even over them that had not sinned after similitude of Adam. And what that's basically saying is this, even from Adam to Moses, people still died physically, and people still died spiritually. You say, well, what's the big deal between Adam and Moses? What did they not have between Adam and Moses? The law written on stone. So you had from Adam to Moses, when there was no law written on stone, and they still died spiritually, and they still died physically. And you said, well, wait a second. I thought Paul said when the law came, sin revived and I died. That's true. But do you realize that only the Jews had the law written down on stone? The Gentiles didn't have that. You know what the Gentiles have today according to your Bible? The law written in their hearts. You see, just because the Ten Commandments were not written on stone for the Gentiles does not mean that they're let off the hook. Every man is a sinner. Everybody, there is none righteous, no, not one. And what that Bible is saying is this, whether there's a law or not, when there was no law written on stone, people still had the law written in their hearts. That means Adam to Moses had the law written on their hearts too. And then finally one day on Mount Sinai, God says, okay, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to write it out in stone for you so you can actually see the law. But they all knew what was wrong and what was not wrong. Hey, listen, when Cain killed Abel, do you think he didn't know he was doing wrong? Well, where was the law that says thou shalt not kill back then? See, he knew what he did was wrong, and he was held responsible for it. And guess what? From Adam to Moses, everybody was still held responsible for the sins that they commit because they knew that they were wrong when they committed them. Therefore, it says there that death reigned from Adam to Moses. And it reigned from Moses on, and it reigned from Christ on, and it reigns still today. Today, there are still people today, a lost person today is dead spiritually, and they will die physically. That has not changed all the way back to Adam. And it doesn't matter whether it was a law written down on tablets or not. It never changed. Death reigned all the way through. Why? Because it's passed down from Adam. And all of us, whether we like it or not, we all came from Adam. Amen? And so that's what it's teaching here. All right? So when Adam ate that fruit, people died not only physically, but also spiritually. Now, look if you would, starting at verse 15. Romans chapter 15. Then what it starts to do here, it starts to break down the differences between Adam, the first Adam, and the second Adam. Romans 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead. But then it says, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded to many. You say, what's the gift? What is the gift? It's everlasting life, right? According to Ephesians, it's everlasting life. All right? And so you have the grace of God. And everlasting life. All right, verse 16. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift of many offenses unto justification. So there you have the judgment of condemnation and the justification. You say, what's justification? Basically, it's just as if I did not sin. That's what justification is. Easy way to remember it. Justified, never sinned. That's what justification is. In other words, in God's eyes, the second you get saved, the Bible says it puts your sins as far as the east is from the west. To God, it's like you never sinned at all. The moment you got saved, all your sins were forgiven. And you're placed in Christ. You know what he looks at when he sees you right now? His son, Jesus Christ. What? You're in Christ. Well, isn't that a good thing to know? How would you like to? The problem is this, folks. You go over to Genesis chapter 20. Those folks are not in Christ. They're standing right there before God. And they're in their own bodies. They're on their own. They're not in Christ. You know what God sees when he sees them? He sees their sin. I'm glad I'm in Christ. Amen? All right. And look at verse 18. It says, therefore, as by the offense of one, here it is again, judgment came upon men, all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. So here you have condemnation. And then here you have justification. All right, continue reading. Look at verse 17. It says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, Adam, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. Drop down to verse 21. That as the sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life. So here you have death. We'll say death's reign. I before E except after C. That don't look right either. All right, and then you have the reign of life. In Christ. Verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So when you look at that right there, you would think that if I could show everybody that, you would think everybody gets saved seeing that right there, wouldn't you? I mean, think about this. Just that one passage right there tells you that in Adam, before you get saved, many dead, condemnation, death's reign, sinners. But in Christ, if you'll get born again, all that's gone, and now you have the grace of God, everlasting life, justification, reign of life, and righteousness. You'd think that'd just be a no-brainer, right? We're all here at one time. But you had to be born again to get here. So that means if a person today is not born again, this is the future that he's looking at right there. But the second he gets born again, this is the future that he's looking at. And you wonder, well, why in the world would anybody reject Jesus Christ? I mean, just the fact that you should say that, listen, in Adam, all die. But in Christ, all are made alive. You shouldn't have to go any further than that. Amen? I mean, you'd think that the whole world's like, hey, who wants to die? I'd rather live. Amen? You'd think that's the way it is. But, however, that's not the way it is. All right? All right, so I'll look at one more. Look at verse, I'll just go ahead and tell you. 1 Corinthians 15:45 says this. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. He was made a living soul, but what happens? He dies spiritually. So he's born, but then he dies spiritually. He was made a living soul. He was made a living soul when the Lord breathed air into his nostrils. But then after he ate the fruit, he dies. All right? But then it says here that the last Adam, Jesus Christ, was made a quickening spirit. See, what's so important about that? Because this one right here, that's the trick right there. That's the main point. In Adam, all die spiritually. Everybody, once they reach a certain age of accountability, will die spiritually. And once they die spiritually, that's it. You must have Jesus Christ become alive spiritually after that. You got to have that. So when you see the contrast between Adam and in Christ, the bottom line is this. Whoever's been born again, everybody who has been born of Adam, except for Jesus Christ, was born sinners. But if you remain in Adam and you never get into Christ by receiving Jesus Christ, then you will face what Revelation chapter 20 talks about, the second death. Again, because in Adam all die. But if you're in Christ Jesus, then you have the grace of God, you have justification, you have righteousness, you have eternal life. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm sure glad I'm in Christ tonight. Because you're in Christ tonight, you're safe. Now listen, you're still going to die physically. That's going to happen one of these days. But you never have to ever have to worry about that second death. Why? Because you're already in Christ right now, and he is life. Amen? So we need to be thankful that we're in Christ, and that's the reason we need to tell everybody about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because a person not saved, folks, they don't stand a chance. They're in Adam, they're not in Christ, and there is no hope for anybody in Adam according to that scripture. Amen? All right, let's go ahead and stop there for tonight.